Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not overcome evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's say our scripture declaration together. Lord, we honor your word to us. May your truth become our heart's pursuit and our life's practice. Amen. Heavenly Father, as Pastor Randy comes forward, bless the words that you have prepared for him to share with us today. May we hear from you through him today. Amen. And with that, we'll go ahead and dismiss our teens. All right, thank you.
All right, teens, you can actually go this time. I'm sorry, I won't call you back. I apologize. Making you go, then stay, then go, then stay. All right, it is good to see you here. I do want to just share with you guys very quickly before I get started with my preaching time and teaching time. Thank you so, so much. Each and every one of you who were a part of the pastor appreciation last week, thank you so much. Many very kind words. Thank you so much for the different gifts that you gave. It was truly an absolute blessing, and I feel honored. I hope and pray it comes through. I feel honored to be your pastor. I feel honored to be the pastor of this church, and it is a huge blessing for me. You guys are my family. I tell you guys that all the time, but that is exactly how we feel, and we thank you so much for giving us the honor of allowing Shelley and I to lead this church, and I do thank you so much for that, and thank you for last weekend. It was very encouraging and a huge blessing to me, so thank you. Thank you. Ah, thank you. The $20 is coming to you, okay? Just like we talked about. I appreciate that. All right. Thank you so much. Okay, so today's message title, I want to just let you know that if this comes and goes, and it says inactive in that bottom section there, we purchased a seating license, and that is the thing that is on the computer here that we normally use, but we are literally using my computer, which is inactive, but it flows over into the other. So I do apologize if it fades and comes and goes. That's what's going on, and I am sorry for that. It's just one of those days where we're scrambling with the tech, but hopefully and prayerfully, if you guys will allow it to just not be too big of a distraction, I'm going to do my very best to share with you what God has put on my heart, and I'm looking forward to doing just that. Today's message title is Changing the Chemistry, and as you heard, Romans chapter 12 has tons and tons of principles that Eric just read. We're going to go back and look at some of those in just a little bit, talking about those principles that can change every one of your important relationships if you will let it. Now, let's begin here. Do any of you guys, you remember what happened with TikTok just a couple of weeks back where it was going to go away and then it was going to come back and all that stuff? Some of you guys are not really big on TikTok. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. But I want to just share something with you. This is something that I ran across as I was looking on Yahoo where my email is. So over here on the left, this guy, by the way, I want that hair. I just don't know that I can pull it off, all right? But here's what he says. He says, the harebrained airport theory trend is causing people to miss their flights. I see these two on each one of those green arrows. Those two made it. Here is the airport theory. Do any of y'all know what the airport theory is? This guy on the left had about 3.5 million views on his airport theory. Do any of y'all know what I'm talking about, or is this all brand new news? Okay, here's their airport theory, and I'm going to tell you this. If I were to do this airport theory with my wife on a trip, we would be divorced. Like, this is how it is. Literally, his airport theory is arrive 15 minutes before your flight leaves. That's his theory. Now, how many of y'all are already panicked and getting sweaty palms right now, right? You're like, no, we're not doing that. But here's what happened, okay? So I do want to just share this with you, and I kind of clipped it from the article. It says, this person on the left here, the airport theory works here in Atlanta Hartsfield Airport, which is one of the busiest in all of the country. I think it's going to work anywhere. Says this wild-haired TikToker, Michael Costanzo, whose hair looks like he had just climbed out of bed. That's what the New York Post said. Okay, that's not what I said. But in a clip with more than 3.5 million views, he says, I call this a huge win for the airport theory. But look at the girl there on the same spot there. There's two of them that got through and made it, these two on the far outside edges. But the girl in the red, with the red arrow, she missed her flight. Have any of you guys ever missed a flight before? Have any of y'all ever missed a flight? A couple of y'all are shaking your head. Doesn't it make you feel like you're a failure in life? I mean, I don't know why that is. Like, you paid for it, you know, you're going to pay for it again, but I don't know why. That's kind of the same way I feel when I let my phone die with a battery charge. It's like, I feel like I'm failing in life. I don't know why. But this girl here listened to the airport theory off of TikTok, thought it would be a good idea to try it, and it probably cost her $700, right? I mean, because you know how it is with these last-minute theories or these last-minute bookings. The airport theory did her wrong, all right? So here's what I want to share with you. How many of you know that there are no shortage of people who will give you parenting advice, relationship advice, advice in dealing with your parents? I mean, they will give you every bit of advice when it comes to your relationships, and you don't even have to really ask them sometimes. They will give it to you anyway. Can I get an amen if you know what I'm talking about? Amen. Now, I know some of y'all are next to the person that gives you most of that parenting advice or relationship advice. You know, blink twice if that is accurate, right? So here's what I know. You and I have no shortage of advice. We have no shortage of advice. I love what Abraham Lincoln said. He said, you know, I used to have 5 great theories about parenting, but no children. Now I have 5 children and no great theories on parenting, you know. It's just you find your way along in relationships. But the great news is, in our Better Together teaching series, that this is true. I would not recommend you go to TikTok to find out how to have a great relationship. But what I would recommend is you go to God's Word. And here's what is incredible. God's Word is so incredibly powerful and life-giving and active, as it says that it is alive and active in Hebrews. Because the truth is that God's Word has relationship advice for you and I that is just as powerful today as the day that it was written 2,000 plus years ago. That alone is a God thing because of how relevant it remains. Let's go to our next slide. As you see here, this is our something to learn. And as we see here, the book of Romans was written before Paul ever visited the city of Rome. He had never met the believers in that place. So here is why this is so powerful. You might be able to read some of his other letters that he sends out, those epistles or letters that he sent, and think, well, he has favorites. He has people that he believes are in the right and those who are in the wrong. But in Romans, he'd never met any of them, but he wrote to them about how to deal with relationships. And I believe with all of my heart that this gives the principles that are free from any thing about personal bias that you may or may not think is there. But in our world, people see all relationships as a place to get rather than to give. And that's part of why our world is so incredibly broken. But Christian relationships are supposed to be about who can outserve the other. Christianity is supposed to be a race to the bottom. And I want to just share that with you probably almost each week we meet, because relationships in a Christian worldview are supposed to be about who can outserve the other. Now, let me just share one other thing about the TikTok thing. I would do very deep research on the people and their success of their own relationships before you begin to take advice from those who would readily give it to you. If they want to give you parenting on kids, look at their kids. If they turned out okay, you might want to give it some weight. But if they didn't, then maybe you might just want to say, okay, are they telling me what they wish they would have done to change things the way they turned out? Or are they just acting like they had all the answers all along? Because the truth is that you and I are the ones that pay the price when we make bad decisions influenced by somebody who didn't give us good advice. If you're with me, give me an amen. Okay, so be very careful who you listen to. And I believe every time you should look at what you are hearing and filter it through. Does this square with what the Word of God says about relationships? And if it doesn't, I ain't listening. All right, let's keep moving as we go here. And I want to just share, Gary Chapman is the man who wrote Loving Your Spouse When You Feel Like Walking Away. But you probably have heard of some of these other books that he wrote. He wrote The Five Love Languages, and then he wrote The Five Love Languages for Kids. Trust me, it's there. It's coming back. But yes, you see those books. They might even be something that's recognizable. Any of y'all ever heard of The Five Love Languages before? Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a moment. But as we keep moving here, I encourage you, if you want to go deeper, you can read those books, one of them or both of them if you'd like, all three. And then here, something that I shared with you last week, these six steps to reality living, I am responsible for my own state of mind. My attitude affects my actions. I can't change others, but I can influence others. My emotions do not control my actions. I shared all of these with you. There's two more. There's actually six parts of reality living that Dr. Gary Chapman shares. And it's so incredibly important, because I believe with all of my heart that if you start looking at these things, you don't see a lot of that going on in relationships. So it's no wonder that things are broken. Because the truth of the matter is that we think, well, if I'm getting treated this way, then it is okay for me to treat someone the same way I am treated. Now, we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to say it out loud. But that's the way that we tend to fall in our mindset. Would you guys agree with that? You would, right? Because ultimately, what I feel like I'm getting, I will give back. And what I feel like I'm lacking in getting, I am probably not going to be going way out of my way to give back to you if our relationship is not mutually good, or if you're not doing something for me that I think I'm already doing for you. You understand what I'm saying? So the truth is that if we are about getting rather than giving, the way that we talk about it around here is, if we are here to receive a blessing but never to be a blessing, our relationships will always be flawed, broken, and short-lived. I'll say that again, and y'all can get your amen ready, okay? Here we go. Here's what I'm going to say. If you are all about getting and never about giving, your relationships will always be flawed, broken, and short-lived. Amen. Okay. So I get somebody like that. All right, very good. So what are the last two of this reality living? Let's talk about that. Oh, I think there's a scripture in between. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. And then what does that say? Outdo one another in showing honor. Those first four, we just talked about it. It's almost impossible for us to do those first four in reality living. But if we are following the Lord's scripture and what he tells us we should be doing, we begin to outdo one another in showing honor. And I think I told y'all last week, I think I told y'all last week that I'd give you $1,000 if you really both were trying to outdo one another in service and you actually ended up divorcing or getting a split, you know. And then I told y'all at the moment, I was like, I don't have it, but I tell you what, if it ever happens, let me know and I'll give you $1,000. Then Karen walks up here and goes, I guess you got $1,000 now after your pastor appreciation. So I thought that was pretty funny. All right, anyway. All right, let's go to our next slide. Here we say, admitting imperfections does not mean I'm a failure, and love is the most important, powerful weapon for good in all of the world. I believe that God's love specifically is the thing that can change us from the inside out and can change our relationships, but he asks us to commit to being people who live in reality in these ways. Now, let's shift to some newer material. Some of this is from last week. I believe it's important ground to cover so it begins to sink in. But let's keep moving as we go to our next slide. And here, I believe this is a don't miss this, and this is very, very important. The difficulty in desperate relationships is that one focuses on receiving rather than giving love. We've already talked a little bit about that, but that's a good way to remember exactly what we're talking about. As we do, I want to talk about changing the chemistry. As we do, I want to talk about changing the chemistry in whatever relationship you're looking to change. Now, this is not a marriage series. This is not a parenting series. This is not a friendship series or a dealing with your extended family series. This is all of those. These relationship principles go across all of them. But let's go to our next slide and let's talk about changing the chemistry. Everybody knows what the one on the left is, don't you? What is the one on the left? Water, right? And so this is the chemical compound, hydrogen with two atoms of that with one atom of oxygen. H2O is water. Any of you know what the one on the right is? All right, well, some of you guys are a lot smarter than me, clearly. Y'all want to come up here and finish? All right, so that one, yes, is, let's go to our next slide as you see it here, water and carbon dioxide, all right? Now, all right, you bunch of smart people, that's cool, fine. Brag about your chemistry grade and I'll tell you about my C. Let's keep moving. Here we go. Really, there's only two things going on here. There's hydrogen instead of carbon, but how many of you know what happens to your body without water? It's not good. It's not good. How many of you know what happens to your body with too much carbon dioxide? It's not good either. So what is happening here? It's a couple of small changes making huge differences. Let me share with you. For most of you, you have said in a relationship, there's no reason for me to do that because it'll never make a difference. I could do that all day long and it still wouldn't matter. I could change, but they haven't changed, so why should I change? Can you just understand that in our world, small changes do not necessarily equal small results? Sometimes small changes make big differences. Have you ever seen that? Can I get an amen? For most of us, we need to be reminded that if we will make some small changes in our side, which is, by the way, the only side that we can actually change. I can influence others, but I cannot change them. But if I begin to change the way that I treat them, the tone of voice that I use with them, the fact that I need to tell my child something, but I don't make it the very first thing I say when I see them in the morning. You see what I'm saying? That changes things, doesn't it? You begin to make small changes and you can get big results. But if you refuse to make a change, you will continue to get the same or worse results most of the time. Let me just say this. You can change the chemistry. In your relationships, whether it's with your parents that you've struggled to connect with, whether it's your children that you're struggling to connect with, whether it's your spouse and things just haven't been the same, or others at work, friends, whatever, it goes on and on and on. You can change the chemistry by making a decision and a change. What did it say? To outdo one another in love. To outdo one another in love. Let's keep moving as we go on here. Let's talk a little bit about how it feels to change the chemistry. The search for self-understanding has led us to the conclusion that I am what I feel, and authentic living is being true to my feelings. So when applied to a desperate marriage or a desperate friendship or on and on, this philosophy basically says to us that in the process of all of that happening, we have to be people who are willing to go beyond the hurt and the anger that we feel to say, you know what, whether I'm receiving it back, whether they ever say thank you, whether they ever admit or say that they are sorry, whatever happens, I am going to choose to do what is right because I, with the help of the Lord, am going to try my very best to change the chemistry of my relationships. Because God never called for us to be separate, but he said, you are always better together. And so that means that you and I need to get better at how we are being together. Now, if we see this, let's go to the next slide as we go past that and then on to the big idea. Here's what I want you to get out of this. If you don't remember anything else, our big idea is on the next slide. And as always, you know I'm going to ask you to say it out loud. But great relationships are built on faithfulness and not on feelings. Ooh, let's do a little test. Can y'all do it without it being up there? Not fair. I'm trying to keep eye contact. I'm like this today. Here we go on the count of three. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Great relationships are built on faithfulness, not on feelings. How many of you guys believe that? Amen? Amen. Okay, so here's what I mean by that. Here's the idea. You be faithful to God's principles, change the chemistry, and watch how the relationship changes or gets clarified very, very quickly. I'm gonna say that one more time. Watch how God changes the chemistry or how it gets clarified very quickly. Here's what I mean. You cannot make somebody love you. You cannot make somebody else who is determined to be unhappy. You cannot make them happy. So here is what I would recommend to you. Live as far as it is possible with you, at peace with everyone, as the word just said, and then let them figure out what they're going to do about you and the chemistry that you are bringing to the relationship. You never have to apologize for being kinder to somebody than they deserve. You never have to apologize for being more faithful to do what is right and against your feelings, doing the things that you know could actually bring healing and change in your relationship. You never have to apologize for that. They are the ones responsible for how they react, but you never have to wish that you would have. And I'm telling you, it is so incredibly important. For many of us, we can look back in our rearview mirror and realize we wish we would have done some things different. I encourage you, God's word is very clear. Do your very best and let God sort the rest out, because you can't make somebody else act the way that they ought to act. Can I get an amen? Amen? All right, thank you. And so very quickly, let's talk about three love languages. And I want to talk about this because these things are very important. If you've ever felt like, okay, literally I'm just going to say something. This is a sign that you are not hitting the right love language, more than likely. You know what? I always take good care of him, but he never seems to appreciate the things that I do. When you say that, you know what that means? More than likely, you are giving the love language that you speak, and you're missing the connection that you're trying to make, because that's not the love language that he speaks. Because they should appreciate what you're doing for them, but if only you would just go over and give them a hug, speak to them face to face, say, you know what, I've taken off work so that you, son, and I can hang out together today. And we're just going to spend the afternoon. You're out of school, congratulations, and we're going to go out and do something that we never get a chance to do. And I know y'all are like, well, Pastor, I'm in education. All right, get it. I get it. They can always make up homework, and they will never forget an afternoon that you pulled them out of school and spent 3 hours of time with them. They will never forget it. You can do the math. You don't have to agree. But I think, with a wife who is an educator, I think that's important stuff that you can actually do. You see what I'm saying? And so you reach to them. You speak their love language, quality time. It's words of affirmation, physical touch, quality time, acts of service, and gifts. Those are the five. And if your child speaks one of them that you don't speak, if you want to reach them in the best way possible, learn to speak their language. Don't demand that they speak yours, because the truth of the matter is that just like God made them an introvert or an extrovert, and that is just part of their DNA and how God has created them as unique individuals, that is not something that you can change. So either you speak it and connect, or you demand they speak yours and miss them forever and keep them at a distance all of your relationship and never hit the home run that you wish you were hitting. Can I get an amen if you understand? Amen. So here, you can say this with your spouse. You can say this with your spouse. It's the same thing. It's the same thing with your parents. For some of your parents, you could sit them down, look them in the eye, and say, this is how I feel about the man that you've been. This is how I feel about the woman that you've been. And just gush about how good they have been. And it will never hit them the same way as if you went there and helped them clean out their garage or go through their kitchen cabinets. I don't know why that's true, but that is true, because everybody speaks a different love language. I could go on for 45 minutes here, but I'd like to get an amen and keep moving. How about y'all, amen? I knew it. Y'all are like, yeah, let's keep moving. All right, here we go. Here's two things to note. Encoded in them like a personality, you can't change it. You can only access it or dismiss it. And then the next thing is people speak their own language. Usually when they give you gifts and it's not as important to you, what are they telling you? They're telling you, I'm trying to reach to you. This is the language I naturally speak. It's their little clue. And so if you have a kid who comes and makes you something and they give you a something or whatever, that's probably it's an act of service or a gift is probably their love language. And you can figure that out real quick. And by the way, I'm going to say something really powerful here. I mean, not because I'm like patting myself on the back, but this is insight that you will not usually fall into, most of us. As we go to it, here's another, don't miss this. For most of us, we hear something as a complaint that is their cry to be reached in the way that they want to be reached. A revealing of love language often is not heard for what it is. Most times it's judged on feelings, it's labeled, and then rejected to the continuing damage of the relationship. In other words, if your child says, I wish I had that thing, or I wish I had this thing, a lot of the time we're just like, they're greedy, they don't know how to be grateful, whatever, and I get that. And sometimes that is exactly what's going on, but sometimes they want to know that you care about them. And if it's gifts, you know, then you've missed the chance because you labeled them as greedy. And then the continuing damage just keeps coming. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Or if somebody says, well, how come you never say something like that to me? If that's a spouse or if that's a child or whatever. And you say, well, maybe if you acted more like this, then I probably would, but, you know, and then so you've labeled it, you've dismissed it, but what they've told you is your words could make a huge difference if you will use them for good. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So what we hear a lot of the time, we dismiss it and label it, and we just pass it along to the continued damage of our relationships, because we think that people who are normal speak the same love language as we do, and it ain't like that. It just ain't. I don't know. Nothing tells you to listen to my theory by using like the word ain't, but it ain't like that, okay? So here we go. As we continue on, let's talk about this principle and how we can apply this. And I do want to just share a couple of scriptures with you, because there's some powerful ones here. Look at these different ones that I've highlighted. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Outdo one another in showing honor. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Live in harmony with one another. Repay no one evil for evil. And as you look at these, I don't know about you, but I have always thought to myself, this is for the enemies, like the mortal enemies, you know, the people that you just, you can't barely stand to be around them. You know that they're like the lowest of the low on your list. But can I ask you a question? Okay, no, listen, don't answer this question out loud. Just sit stoically and pretend you don't even hear it, right? The people who make you madder than anybody else are the people that live in your own house. I'm just saying, like I said, don't answer, don't agree, don't shake your head, just let it move on, but it's true. And so why do those people drive you crazier than anybody else? Because you love them that much and you want different, and it just ain't that easy. But here, I looked at all of these and I'm thinking, oh, that's for your enemy. Well, who is your enemy? The person that you're at odds with? Who is your enemy that you need to live in harmony with? Isn't it your people that you've got under your own roof? What about blessing those who persecute you? Bless and do not curse them. I'm not saying curse, but you know what I mean. You're like, ah, why are they always this way? Repay no one evil for evil. And I know that none of y'all good Christian people would ever do that, right? Amen. Like, you would never repay anybody evil for evil, but there are others out there who aren't as spiritual as you and I, right? Okay, right, all right. So as we look at all of these things, these are principles that you can use to change every single one of your relationships in powerful ways. Let's keep moving. Let's go to our next slide. Three relationship truths, and I'm going to hit these, and we're going to be done, and I'm going to be finished here. God's word called on both people in a relationship to outdo one another in showing honor. You don't tell them, you're supposed to be outdoing me and showing honor. That's a good way to get hit, I think. It doesn't mean we wait for them to deserve our love and care and concern and our words until we treat them as we should treat them. It means that before they do anything to show that they're interested in a chemistry change, you are about making a chemistry change in that relationship. Let's go to our next slide. Repay no one evil for evil. And it goes, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Man, what great advice. You can't change them, but you can change you. And when you change you, sometimes it changes them, if you follow along. All right, let's keep moving here to our next slide. And it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil, what? With good. Listen. For some of you and for some of me, I need to be reminded that the most important people need me to treat them like they are the most important people. It doesn't mean I can't say what I need to say. It doesn't mean I can't parent the way that I know I should parent. But it does mean that I need to give attention to loving first and then the learning that we're trying to impart second. For most of us, it's learning, 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 and we never really go overboard with the love. Did you know that it takes about 5 positive things to every 1 negative thing just to get back to even? In your relationship account, you are underwater, you are below zero. Every time you say a negative thing, you have about 5 things positive that you need to say just to get back to ground level zero. All right, let's keep moving. As we do, let's talk about this. As Christians, we're told to live according to God's commands and let God deal with the other person. I want to be very clear. This does not mean that you need to remain in an unsafe situation for you or for your children. If you're in an unsafe situation, we should probably talk. I want to share with you like the right way to do things, but you do not need to remain in an unsafe situation. But here's what I mean. It also does not mean that we never speak to them about their bad treatment of us or ask them to be better in the way that they treat us. If we do those things, it doesn't make us a doormat. But it does mean that we're not saying it with venom, that we're not saying it in such a way that is hurtful, but it's just clear, hey, I'm not always going to be okay with you treating me this way. It used to be all right. I'm not okay with that anymore. The kids are seeing the way that you're treating us. And when you treat us that way, they're learning the wrong things. And I don't want that. Neither do you. But we can't keep treating each other in this way. So let's go on to our next slide here. Christians are told to focus on the good rather than always seeing and believing only the negative. Here's what I heard one time that rocked my world. I believe it was Gary Smalley, who has gone on to glory and passed away. One of the biggest influences in my life when it comes to my relationships with my kids, my wife, my family, all that stuff. Even with you as my church family. But here's what he said. He said, you know, you married that person because you thought they were amazing. You thought they were kind and incredible and all of these wonderful things. And now that you have these walls being built up with all the frustrations of daily life and all the unforgiveness that you haven't dealt with on your own, you now look at them as if they want to undo everything good in your life. When you thought you couldn't live without them before, now you don't know if you can live with them now. So the thing that has changed probably isn't them, but it's probably the way that you are relating to one another. And I'll go you one better. My wife is with our daughter up in Michigan, so she can't reach me. But here's what I'll tell you, okay? I've always been into women just like my wife. She's cool, she's calm, she's collected, she's put together, she's like paddling like crazy under the surface, but, you know, on the surface she looks like she's barely floating, you know, that's just Shelley. And then I was like, man, I'm into that, you know, that is awesome, I love that. Whew, she's got it going on. And then we got married. I was upset with her because I was like, what's going on? Like, you don't ever seem to get riled up or flappable for anything at all. Like, do you even care about this stuff? And she's like, what are you talking about? I'm the same person I was, used to drive you crazy. And I'm like, that's fair, actually. The thing that you loved about them initially now drives you crazy about them. Your children, as they are finding their footing and becoming the people that God wants them to be, they're going to drive you crazy sometimes. I knew I'd get an amen on that. Some of y'all are like, that's so true. That's so true. It is true because they're not terrible people, but there are people who are going through it and they don't quite understand where they fit in, who they are, where they got solid footing. You see what I'm saying? So all of these things matter for us to be changing the chemistry as much as we possibly can. All right. Big questions, I apply by a quick mini movie and we're done. Let's go. All right, next slide here as we do. Here's some big questions. Oh, Philippians 4:8, whatever things are pure, holy, just, of good report. If there's anything excellent or praiseworthy about your relationship, think on those things, not on all the negative that you want to think about instead. Let's go. Let's keep moving here. Our big questions in your relationship. Do you know their love languages, and are you trying to speak theirs, or are you demanding that they speak yours? In your relationship, are you part of the problem, or are you part of the solution? And then where does your mind live? Is it in the positive about the things in your relationships, or is it in the negative? And can I just be honest? Most of us, it's in the negative. Sorry, that's just reality. So you and I have to supernaturally change that to change the chemistry on how we deal with people. Here's how we apply this message. What do we need to do to accept our part in the relationship and the issues that we have? What do you need to stop thinking? What do you need to stop doing? What is one single action that you can take that changed something big in your relationship and changed the chemistry in a big way? And what is one way that you can serve somebody this week? How can you focus on giving rather than on getting in your struggling relationships? These are things that I believe will change your relationships if you will embrace them. But the truth is that if you're waiting for somebody else to do it first, you're giving them the role of leadership. And by the way, you're also giving them the reins to happiness in your own life. Because most people don't love change. They deal with it or put up with it only when they have to. So if you see it and want it to change, I encourage you, that is God's way of telling you that you are the one who should make the change, change the chemistry, outdo serving one another, speak their language, and watch things begin to change as you get better and better together. Let's check out this video. You know what? I just realized we can't check out this video. You know why? Because I'm on my computer and not on the church computer. Here's what you have on this video. Let me just give you a quick rundown. There's flowers and a beautiful set of hands. I don't know what I'm thinking. I'm so sorry. Oh my gosh. But here's what I know. Here's what I do know. The love of God, which has changed our lives, is the thing that will change our relationships as well. That's what the video is about. It's not about flowers and hands and all that stuff. It is about the fact that if we will change our view of others and see them as we have been seen by our Lord, things can begin to change if we let it happen and the chemistry begins to change. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. So as we end today, and just before I turn it back over to the worship team, let me ask you a question. I am asking you, do you know that you've been waiting for somebody else to change the chemistry and been frustrated because they won't, they haven't, or they don't? That is a formula for being frustrated all of your life. If you're waiting for somebody else to be the first to act and do what is right, you are not listening to what God's word is saying. He says, outdo one another in serving each other. He's saying, love no matter what, the way that I have loved you, no matter what. If you need things to change in one of your relationships, or even all of your relationships, it begins with you. So right now, in this moment, I'm not even asking for you to raise your hand, but I am asking for you to make a decision that what you know is right, and what you know you have not been doing is going to begin to change, that the chemistry with your kids, the chemistry with your parents, the chemistry with your spouse, your significant other, the chemistry at work, whatever it might be, if you know it needs to change, will you commit to being the one who brings something different to the table so that things have an opportunity to change with God's power and His strength and His principles? Would you do that right now?